Hello and welcome to A View from the Bridge for the 16th of December 2008. Here in A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the Coors Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith.
Hi, and I'm Connor Caldwell. Very welcome to the show. It's been a while since we've been with you, and we've had some technical difficulties over the last couple of weeks, with our previous podcast having a very strange going through the whole show, so we had to scrap that.
Yeah.
But we're back now, and we're going to talk quickly about the week that's been, or the weekend that's been, and look forward to the games coming up over the Christmas period.
Yes, it's been interesting. Since we last spoke, which is quite a while ago, the Giants have seemingly taken a bit of a dip in form, unfortunately, and have...
The sky's falling.
Panic, everybody. Press the panic button. We now... oh my goodness, I've just looked. We now lie fifth. What's going on, Fish?
I don't know, Paddy. It's been a strange couple of weeks. We had that great winning streak that was bookended by the losses to Hull. It's gone back a few weeks now, and then everything seems to have just fallen apart. And we had a great win over the Panthers last week on Friday night, 4-3. And then we got absolutely hammered in the NIC.
Tight.
Yep, just beaten off the ice. And it's not looking too pretty at the minute. I think a lot of teams are cluing on to our style of hockey. We're seeing a lot more trap defense being played against us. And I think at the back we're just not looking quite as solid as we were before. It seems to be very much a Ozzie Ardiles style of hockey. If we're going to win, it's going to be, 8-5, 8-6.
Yeah, but, I have to agree. It has been a bit disappointing, especially in the D. I know that I went to the game against Sheffield down in Sheffield a couple of weeks ago, where we got hammered 5-0, and that wasn't pretty to see. Sheffield more or less outclassed us forward, back, side to side, and and having already lost the night before to the Manchester Phoenix, it wasn't really great. I think over that weekend we've shipped 10 goals. I think over the course of the last four games, we've shipped 20, which for a D that at one point were the leanest in the league, is extremely unfortunate. And hopefully we can turn it around, because I don't think, a lot of talk about the panic button and press the panic button and, oh my God, what's going to go on? Cut this guy, cut that guy, what are we going to do now? I think people need to take a reality check. I think this is the time where we have the... we're not the Nottingham Panthers, and we're not going to cut players just because we're playing badly. Quick replace him. In Steve, we trust. Certainly I do. And I think that with the coaching team we have in Thornton and Stewart, this is the first real test they've had. We've had it good till now. This is the first real test we've had. And coming into the Christmas period, I think it's time that they showed their worth.
Absolutely, and now is a crucial time in the league. We've got so many games coming up over this Christmas period. We've got Hull at home this Thursday, which used to be the sort of 2-point banker, and now a lot of Giants fans are going to be looking at that with a little bit of apprehension. Then we go across for the annual doubleheader in Edinburgh, and then we've got Edinburgh coming here. We've got Sheffield visiting us, and a number of other games before 2009 starts. But we've got two games in hand, and we're 10 points back from the lead of the league. And really, it's time to put the foot on the accelerator, I think, for the Giants. And it's time, like we say, we've got four games coming up. We've got Hull twice. We've got Edinburgh three times. And then the Steelers on the 30th. And so there's sort of five games coming up there that really we need to be. If we're going to be serious challengers for this title, we really need to be looking at maximum points from those games.
Well, I think the most important game is the one on the 30th. Saint Patrick and I will be back in the Odyssey.
Paddy? Why did you let a woman on the podcast?
Why did I let the woman on the podcast? Is this going to be left in? Yeah, I think that... coming into these games, you're right. with the lineup that we have, and people need to understand as well that we have had a few have been played by, well, our whole front line with intermediate injuries. I think the loss of Dennisett was a significant one. Robbins and Martin too, but especially Dennisett. Now, I do get wind that Dennisett will be back for the forthcoming games, and I think that's a major boost. Especially, you know, if we can pick up the points against Hull, against the Caps, leading into that game against Sheffield, especially, it'll be a major boost.
Absolutely, yes. It may be just a stroke of luck on our part that we do have these fixtures against some of the weaker teams coming up. But as we've said before, we can't really take anything for granted. Especially not against Hull. We've just had two absolute disasters against them at the Odyssey. And I think an away loss as well. But we said before in the podcast that this season some of the weaker teams seem to be picking up points more consistently against the established forces in the league, which is good for the Elite League in general, because there certainly was a possibility that things would start to become a little bit boring if you were just going every single time to Hull and Edinburgh and to Basingstoke and just hammering these teams.
Yeah.
So it's good that there's more competition and teams seem to be getting a little smarter. Of course, talked already about the trap defense that Hull have employed, which is a Strachan specialty. But it seems to be very, very effective against the Giants this season. And fair play to them, that you have to find out a way to win on a smaller budget, and that's what sports are all about. So it'll be interesting to see how Steve Thornton tries to outthink the trap defense now.
Yeah.
Over the Christmas period, and it's a really good test of Steve Thornton's coaching ability to see what sort of a game plan, what is our plan B?
Yeah.
How can we break down teams if the initial run and gun kind of style doesn't work?
I think it's been our problem, that it has been very much run and gun hockey, and if we have lost or we have, you know, been put back to about 3-4 goals, then we do, our heads go down, and in the last few games we've sort of lost the plot. In saying that, we've already seen so far this season that this team can beat any team in the league, every team in the league. I believe we have. I don't think there's a team in the league we haven't already beaten. So there's no reason why this team can't go back on a run. And you know, the league's not lost. We're not out of it by any means. You go on a run, you're back in there. And to be honest, having seen them and the way they're playing, I've seen them a few times, and the way they're playing, I think the Steelers are the team that we really have to beat. So. I think any team that finishes above Sheffield will win the league, and as I run into this game on the 30th, I believe that the preparation of the two games against Hull and the three games against Edinburgh are ideal.
Absolutely, the Steelers are looking very strong this year, and Matsu's done an incredible job over there. But I think even at this stage of the year, the teams are really going up and down and left and right in the table, and. Well, of course, left and right's impossible. But no team really looks like they're going to dominate. There's teams are going on a good run. Teams are taking losses that they really shouldn't take. And it'll be interesting to see if Sheffield can keep up their current form. And they've kind of reached the summit of the league now, and they're in a healthy position that I don't think they can be caught by anybody, regardless of games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Coventry can get within 2 points of them and put a little pressure on them. But... Sheffield are built well. They're built for the long haul, and it'll be interesting to see how and if they decide to strengthen their squad after Christmas. And indeed, I think in this particular instance this year that any and maybe all acquisitions that are made after the Christmas period could have a massive part to play. Just that one extra player, just that one extra D-man, that new goalie for whatever team just fills that hole that's been there all season. So. Mm-hmm. I think that the next sort of 3 or 4 weeks are going to be very, very crucial in deciding where the title goes.
Yeah. definitely. Definitely. Just a quick chat about Sheffield as well. This weekend has been a bit of eventful for them. They travelled down to Cardiff, and of course, since the start of the season, and Brad Volf, well, actually since the last couple of seasons, the Sheffield PR machine, as Dave Sims and Mike O'Connor and the likes have always seemingly developed quite well. What you may have described as a healthy rivalry with the Cardiff Devils. Mainly based around Brad Voth, who we spoke about earlier in the season, and the ban that he got. Now, this developed recently with Ryan Finnerty crying in the press. Well, my opinion, crying in the press about I can't pronounce his name. Is it Latipoul or Latpuy? Anyway, French Canadian bloke about how he'd been sucker punched. The video showed that he hadn't actually really been sucker punched or taken blindsided, that he'd actually just been, you know, standing up straight and got knocked to the floor and maybe, you know, hurt his bum a little and got a bit of bruised pride. But he claimed in the press about how he was going to beat this fella about. So that, anyway, the Sheffield Steelers travelled to Cardiff and Mr. Finnerty was very quiet. Mr. Sharp wasn't, however, and seemingly is allegedly injured a linesman, and himself and Mr. Lehman incited what was a 32-man brawl on the ice?
Absolutely. It appears to have really got out of hand down there. I've been looking forward to actually speaking to a couple of my Carter friends about this one, but haven't managed to get through to them just yet to hear the inside track. But apparently then it's gone off the ice and everything, and you've got the official the Steelers PR machine on the website sort of getting their point across that they didn't get to leave Cardiff until 11:30. The team bus was interfered with and they had to get engineers out to restart all the systems and all this kind of stuff, which of course no one likes to see, and no one likes to see any kind of on ice rivalry being taken into the stands and outside of the stadium. But yeah, this Sheffield Devils rivalry is fairly hot at the minute, and I'm not sure if they actually play each other over the Christmas period.
I think they do. I think there's one in January coming up, or just at the beginning of January. But I think the question begs for me that, you know, the man at the centre of this seems to be Andrew Sharp. Now, Andrew Sharp, who in the game that I saw the Sheffield Steelers play the Newcastle Vipers, I think he got a grand total of 3 seconds ice time. And that was him skating from the box to the bin for a bench minor. What does he bring to the game? Answers on a postcard, because he doesn't get ice time. All he seems to be is just their goon for hire. And, you know, if he doesn't play for the Sheffield Steelers again, or if he does get a lengthy ban for what happened in Cardiff, then it's not going to hurt the Sheffield Steelers in any way. I like Marco on KOTG's suggestion that, you know, the punishment should be he's forced to play 30 minutes ice time for 10 games. That's a punishment. You know,
we'll see what happens then, yeah.
But I'd be very interested to see how the league approach Sharp and how they deal with the incidents that took place in Cardiff at the weekend.
Yeah, Sharp obviously has a bit of a reputation. I think he was playing for Romford last season in the EPL, mm-hmm. and he was called up to the Blaze for one game where he decided to take on Jeremy Cornish. Mm-hmm. This is only his only contribution really is basically just trying to scrap. And I don't know. All of the fans always enjoy those sort of players, but at the same time, what's the point in the Steelers paying this guy to basically do that? He's not really protecting anybody. He's just he's not contributing anything on the ice. He's just a hired pair of fists, like you say.
Well, from what I've gained, I don't believe the Sheffield Steelers have paid him all that much. Apparently, he's earned his money through some dojo or some sort of mixed martial arts gym that he's using. But to be honest, what's the point? You know, it's not the elite league's bad enough as it is, in my opinion, with regards to the unfortunate standard we have, than employing these players who are just there as spoilers.
Well, it's interesting that we bring this up, that it's something that's not really been present in the league since the infamous zero tolerance rules were introduced there a couple of years back, that we saw the end of the Mel Engel stats and the end of such players who were completely one-dimensional, not good hockey players, only there to start fights and to, I suppose, to an extent, to entertain the fans as well. And this move from a lot of the better teams towards more skilled, not exactly enforcers, but heavy men who can land a punch but can also contribute 20, 30 points a season, the Brad Voths of this world. And it's interesting to see that it's come full circle now, that Sheffield basically have a guy who's so completely useless that don't let him play except to bury people. So there must be league directives forthcoming about this sort of stuff again. I remember the last time when fighting became a big issue, that they brought in the rule about last 2 minutes of the game, that if you instigate a fight, that's a match penalty, I believe. To cut down on sort of that retaliatory goonery.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see now if anything does come down from headquarters about this sort of behaviour, because I definitely would not like to see other teams taking a leaf out of Sheffield's book and going after similar players.
Mm. Definitely. Right, well, I think what's the how's the table shaping up? We'll wrap up by looking at the Elite League table, I think, and just to give everybody a sort of a heads up on how we're standing. In 10, we've Basingstoke at bottom of the league with 16 points of 28 games. Hull with
at 9.
Hull, 26 games and 16 points. At 8, Edinburgh, 29 games, 19 points. Not bad for Edinburgh. 7, Newcastle, 26 games and 23 points. No sound effect? Give us a sound effect.
Boom!
At 6, Cardiff, 26 games, 28 points.
Just continue. The sound effects box is empty.
At 5, Belfast, of course, have played 23 games with 32 points. At 4, Manchester, 27 games, 34 points. And they're level with Nottingham, but Nottingham have only played 24 games. Coventry played 24 games, have 38 points. And top of the pile, the Sheffield Steelers, 25 games, 42 points. Anything else to add before we wrap this up for the evening?
I think one very important thing, friend of ours from hockey is not very well at the minute.
Yes, indeed.
Our friend and rival. and we would just like to add that we have had absolutely nothing to do with Mr. Nigel Ringland's illness at the minute, despite the fact that he was supposed to be producing a rival podcast on a local well-known radio station.
Yes.
It's purely coincidental.
Well, yeah, best wishes to Nigel. We know he's not well, and he hasn't been able to do the webcasts, and it is unfortunate. But no, he's got our best wishes and the thoughts of, I'm sure, all 5 of our listeners.
Yeah, and of course the wider Giants community. You know, there was a lengthy thread started on the forums wishing him well, and we did hope that Nigel gets over his current illness and that he's back to work soon. He really is a great fella and a very good journalist as well.
Damn right.
And we look forward to seeing him back at the Odyssey.
He might be interested to hear that a couple of Newcastle fans at the weekend were asking about him and hope that he gets better. Yeah. Newcastle fans, Nigel?
Newcastle fans, there you go. Anything is possible.
Well, yeah, and hopefully we'll get back, and I know that I'm myself and Victoria are heading home on the 30th and hoping Nigel's about, because I'd like to say hello and wish him well.
Absolutely.
Right, well, coming up to the Christmas period, we've had a bit of a break on A View from the Bridge, but we're hoping to get something together in a couple of weeks' time. I'm away this Sunday so to the snowier climb, so there won't be a View from the Bridge for a couple of weeks.
Paddy's actually the only guy I know who's found somewhere colder to go than Ireland and the UK this Christmas.
Damn right.
Tell everybody what you're doing, Paddy.
I'm working down a mine. No,
working down.
No, we've been invited out by the in-laws to Chamonix in France to spend our Christmas skiing. Fancy that.
Yeah.
So a very happy Christmas to everyone.
Absolutely.
From all us here at KOTG and View from the Bridge Towers. and wherever you are, if you want to get in touch with the podcast, nobody ever does, you can drop us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or check out the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. And I can tell you that if you send us something, we will read it out. Like, literally, we will. It doesn't matter what
it's about.
Oh,
flip, you just opened the door for Hitchy.
Well, no, we'll not read out Hitchies. But, no, seriously, if you guys want to ask us questions about anything, relationship advice, what's the best printer to use with a Mac, what's the secret ingredient in tato, cheese, and onion, anything like that that we can possibly answer, please send it in.
Anything.
We're very lonely.
Yes, please.
All we have is each other.
Wherever you are this weekend, whatever hockey you're watching, we hope you enjoy it. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Cheerio. Have a good Christmas. Bye.
Bye.